taken away, and it was given to the saints of the Most High. All right, if you remember, we looked at this in Daniel chapter 2, and it kind of gives you an overview of this. And if you remember, Babylon was the head, and of course, we know that Babylon is going to be gone. We know that the Medes and the Persians will take over, and then they're going to be gone. And then the Greeks would take over, the Grecians, and they would be gone. And then that would leave the Romans. And it was in the days of these kings that another kingdom would be set up. And that would be the kingdom of God. And it would rule over the entire world. It would never be destroyed. And that is God's kingdom. As we look at some of these kingdoms, this was Babylon, the entire area that it covered. And then you have the Medo-Persians. You see how it expanded much more so than Babylon was. Then you have the Grecian Empire, and it was all this whole area here. And then you have the Romans, who ruled over a lot of this territory all around the Mediterranean, more or less. But here's the key to it, is that the kingdom of God is established in the days of the fourth kingdom that will never be destroyed. If you remember, it says that the stone that came and destroyed that was cut, not cut with hands, and said it came and it smote the image. If you remember, it smashed it into all of the kingdoms into pieces. The gold, the silver, the bronze, all of it, iron and all of it, it was all done away with and became like chaff. And the wind just blew it away. Well, what happened was it began to grow, and it filled the entire earth. Daniel fits into the category of prophets that Peter talks about in 1 Peter, the first chapter, in verse 10, of which salvation the prophets have inquired and searched diligently, who prophesied of the grace that should come. These prophets of old, they all desired, they wanted to know what was going to happen. But it wasn't revealed to them. God didn't reveal that. And we even see in these visions that Daniel has in these last few chapters, what God's going to tell him as well on this. But verse 11 says, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ, which was in them, did signify when it testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. You know, they made some prophecies about the coming of the Messiah. And we know that's true because that's what the Jewish people were looking for. You remember, they were looking for the Messiah. Even when Jesus came, they were looking for the Messiah. But they did not believe he was the Messiah. And that was where the problem lay. But as we continue, we find that, remember that the book, this entire book, the theme of it is God is in control among all the kingdoms of the world. In Daniel, the second chapter, in verse 21, and he changes the times and the seasons. He removeth kings and setteth up kings. He giveth wisdom to the wise and knowledge to them that know understanding. Think about it. Even today, God is in control, and he is setting up kingdoms. He's setting up rulers. Some of them we may not like. Daniel and some of the other Jewish people may have not liked some of those leaders as well. But the thing is, you're under their control when you are in their domain, more or less, when you are under them and you follow their rule to a certain point. Okay? And we found that Daniel and Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and those are the ones we have recorded, that when it came time, they chose to serve God rather than serve man. And that's important for us to remember today, that there may come a time in your lifetime, in my lifetime, and maybe even our grandchildren's lifetime. It's hard to think about it, but there may be a time that they'll have to stand up and say, no, we can't do that. We must obey God rather than man. And that may come. We don't know. But the thing is, we have to take whatever the Lord sees best for us. Well, in Daniel, the 7th chapter, it talked about these four beasts, the succession of the four worldly empires, describing these events up and after the fourth beast, which was actually the Roman Empire. Very similar to what we saw in Nebuchadnezzar's dream, these beasts that come up out of the Mediterranean. It shows the superiority of God over the, God's kingdom, over the kingdoms of men. And, of course, we'll see the presentation of Christ, the Son of Man, was chosen, the chosen one, to the presented to the Ancient of Days. In Daniel chapter 8, we see the vision of the ram and the goat, and the overthrow of the Medes and the Persians. Of course, they had overthrown Babylon, and now you have them being overthrown by the Grecians. Describing the events, Babylon and Rome, the transfer of power from the Medes and the Persians to the Greeks and the Macedonians and so forth. And then we have the fall of Alexander the Great and the rise of four kingdoms, which most likely the Little Horn is probably Antiochus Epiphanes, who was this cruel person who treated the Jews terribly, and also in defiling the temple, eventually led to the revolt that we'll look a little bit at, not much, the Maccabean revolt. And this is things that happened during the years of silence, when God had nothing to say. So it's not a whole lot that we can sink our teeth into, our iron teeth into, but we can't put a lot of stock in some of these things, but we know history does tell us some things that we can look at. In Daniel, the 8th chapter, in verse 2, it starts out and it says, "And I saw a vision, and it came to pass when I saw that I was at Shushan in the palace, which is in the province of Elam, and I saw a vision and was by the river Ulai. Then I lifted up my eyes and saw, and behold, there stood before the river a ram, which had two horns, and two horns were high, but one was higher than the other, and the higher came up last. I saw the ram pushing westward and northward and southward, so that no beast might stand before him. Neither was there any that could deliver out of his hand, but did according to his will and became great." So what you're seeing is, you're seeing these different kingdoms shown forth here, and you've got one that has more or less came up. He's going east and west and north and south. In other words, he's taking over everything. And that would be this last beast. As it goes on in Daniel, it talks about, "When I considered, and behold, a he-goat that came up from the west on the face of the whole earth and touched not the ground. And the goat had a notable horn between his eyes. And it's just hard to comprehend. We think of like unicorns, but this was a goat that had a single horn coming out. And I saw him come close to the ram as he moved with choler against him and smote the ram and break his two horns. And there was no power, in the ram to stand before him. And he cast him down to the ground and stamped upon him. And there was none that could deliver the ram out of his hand. So we see this struggle with these kingdoms as one arise, another one come up, defeat that one, and so forth. Therefore, the goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken. And for it was strong, and the great horn broken, and for it came up four notable ones towards the four winds of heaven. And out of the one then came up a little horn, which waxed exceeding great toward the south and toward the east and toward the pleasant land. As we look a little bit further in chapter 9, we find Daniel's prayer that he presents and prays to God. And we're talking about Darius. He's the same one of the Medes, not the one that's talked about in the back of the first chapter. And Daniel acknowledges in his writings that Jeremiah indeed had prophesied that there was going to be a captivity and how long it was going to last, and it was coming to pass. And so Daniel acknowledges Jeremiah during his writings and the duration of it. A beautiful confession that Daniel gives during this particular prayer. Punishment that was meted out to the Jewish people. He goes into that a little bit. And he asks for divine mercy. Verses 4 through 19. And God answers his prayer. And he tells him that Jerusalem will be rebuilt. Daniel attests to the truthfulness. Jesus attests to the truthfulness. I'm sorry. It's too far to read. Sorry. To the truthfulness of Daniel's words when describing the destruction of Jerusalem. You remember in Matthew 24, verse 15, Jesus was talking, and when ye therefore shall see the abomination of desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing in the holy place and so forth, you would understand that Jesus is giving credit more or less to Daniel and how he was prophesying about this desolation that was going to come upon Jerusalem. Jerusalem will eventually cease to be the center of God's dwelling among his people. And as we think about Jesus as he came to the woman at the well, if you remember, she came to him after Jesus had asked for water, and she questioned him doing that, and she went on to say, "Our Father worshiped in the mountains." Jesus was talking to her, and ye say that Jerusalem is the place, that men ought to worship. Well, Jesus talked to her, and he said, "Believe me, the hour comes when ye shall neither in this mountain or in Jerusalem, worship the Father." All right? And Jesus goes on, you don't know who you worship. But we know that we worship the true God, the Jews do. But the hour is coming, now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. As we look at what Daniel is offering in his prayer, he says, "I set my face to the Lord God to seek by prayer and supplication with fasting and sackcloth and ashes. I prayed to the Lord my God and made my confession and said, O Lord, the great and dreadful God, keeping the covenant and mercy to them that love him, to them that keep his commandments. O Lord, to us belongeth confusion of face, to our king, our princes, our fathers, because we have sinned against thee. All Israel have transgressed thy law, even by departing, that they might not obey thy voice." Do you remember how God had instructed them how they were to obey him back in early years of Israel when he brought them out of Egypt and he gave them the law, and how he told them, you know, "You obey me." Well, if you remember, in Deuteronomy, it actually tells about this law that was given, and Moses talked to the people about the blessings and the cursings. We'll get to that in just a few minutes and go over that. But all Israel, and that basically meant just about everyone. There's a few exceptions to that. There was a few who would be in the remnant that would come back. "According to all thy righteousness, I beseech thee, let thine anger and fury be turned away from thy city, Jerusalem, the holy mountain, because of our sins and for our iniquities of our fathers. Jerusalem and thy people are become a reproach to all that are about us. O my God, incline thine ear and hear, open thine eyes and behold our desolation and the city which is called by thy name. For we do not present our supplications before thee for our righteousness, but for thy great mercies. Yea, while I was speaking," Daniel says, "even a man, Gabriel, came, and God told him to tell him these things, in whom I had seen in the beginning, after a certain amount of time, Jerusalem," he says, will be built, and later the Messiah will come. His own people will kill him, and destruction to Jerusalem will come after this, and it will no longer be the city of God. It will be a complete desolation. But Jerusalem would be rebuilt. The anointed one would come. The Messiah would come. The Jewish people would reject him. They would kill him, crucify him there in Jerusalem. But Jerusalem would eventually again be destroyed. And this would be a complete destruction, because this time it would never occupy that special place in God's plan. Up to this point, if you remember, everything was, what did they do towards Jerusalem? Even those in captivity, what were they doing? Praying towards Jerusalem. Okay. And now we're going to find that Jerusalem is no more the city that God considers his holy place. It would never again be the city of God, because the Israelites actually refused to obey him. As he continues, Daniel says, "O Lord, who is faithful, we have sinned." You know, we need to take advice from Daniel as he's going through this and admitting his wrongs to God. as he is in this vision. Open your eyes. Behold our desolation. We haven't listened to your prophets. We haven't done what they said. You know, they've told us these things was going to happen, and we didn't believe them. So, we've abandoned you. We've abandoned your commandments. And as we look at the speech that Moses gave, he gave the blessings and cursings in Deuteronomy, the 28th chapter. And as we look at that, we'll see, beginning in verse 14, we'll go back to 11. The Lord shall make thee plenteous in goods, in the fruit of thy body, the fruit of your cattle, fruit of the ground, the land which the Lord sware unto thy fathers to give thee. And as we looked at all those blessings that he was going to give, and that is if they would obey him. Now, he goes on and says, you know, if you don't, but it shall come to pass that if thou wilt not hearken unto my voice of the Lord thy God, and observe to do all his commandments and his statutes, which I commanded thee this day, that all these curses shall come upon thee and overtake thee. Cursed shalt thou be in the city. Cursed shalt thou be in the field. Cursed shalt thou be thy baskets and thy store. Cursed shall be the fruit of thy body, the fruit of thy land, the increase of thy kine of the cattle, and the flocks of thy sheep. Cursed shalt thou be when you come in, when you go out. The Lord shall send upon thee cursing, vexation, and rebuke, and all that thou settest thine hand to do, until you are destroyed, until you perish quickly, because the wickedness of thy doings, whereby thou hast forsaken me. We can learn from that, folks. We can learn that when we disobey God, he means what he says. Now, is it going to be immediate? No. But will it be? Yes, it will. And we will see that. And at some point in time, even after this life is gone from us, all right, so we get to chapter 10 through 12 here, and Daniel says, I was by the side of the great river, which is Hiddekel, and a certain man clothed in linen, whose loins were girded with fine gold, Euphaz. Now I am come to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, and how can the servant of this my lord talk with my lord? For as for me, straightway there remaineth no strength in me, neither is there breath left in me. You can just see Daniel as he was looking at this vision, and all of his strength was just more or less gone. And as we think about this, we see that the fourth king after Cyrus, that would be the Grecian, he decided to attack the Grecians, and chapter 1 of Esther kind of tells a little bit about Ahasuerus and Xerxes. But this king would have been probably Alexander the Great, who responded, and he defeated the Persian forces at this particular time. Almost as quickly as he got them defeated, Alexander died at a young age of like 32 years old, and his kingdom was then divided to his four different generals. Daniel, the 11th chapter, gives a little insight into that. And now will I show thee truth. Behold, there shall stand up yet three kings in Persia, and the fourth shall be richer than they all. And by the strength through the, his riches, he shall stir up against the realm of the Grecian. And the mighty king shall stand up and shall rule with great dominion and do according to his will. And we see that in this vision that concerns God's people, that they were caught in the kind of a power struggle at this particular time as the Grecians, Alexander the Great kind of took over, and the remnants of his kingdoms was divided, and talked about the other kingdom, other kings that kind of came up. You have the Ptolemaic Empire that would have been in the Egypt area, and you have the Seleucid Empire that would have been up around Syria. And it also goes on to say that under Antiochus Epiphanes, that the Seleucid finally gained control of the area of Palestine, and that they were just in a struggle of the north and the south as they would work back and forth and fight against each other. But as we see, in Antiochus used Palestine as a staging area. Eventually, the Jews would revolt after they were more or less taken over by the Seleucids, and this would be the time of the Maccabean Revolt. They revolted against the rule that came up. And finally, Rome gained power from the west and controlled both the Ptolemies and the Seleucids. And though Rome did destroy Jerusalem in AD 70, Rome could not, or did destroy it, but they could not crush the spiritual kingdom. And this is spoken of by the prophets. In Daniel, we've gone over that, how the image is smote the stone smote the great image and became a great mountain. The point we want to remember is this, that God is in control even today. Also remember that these prophecies that we've talked about, and as you read about this, and you'll see varied answers of a lot of these, you'll see that these prophecies really have no direct bearing on any modern events. And you see a lot of times you'll hear preachers who will try to put some of these things, thrones that's got wheels, well, that was a Mercedes, or, you know, these kind of things that will come up. But they're not talking about some treaty that's being signed in the world today, and we know some ruthless rulers are out there from different nations, and a lot of people like to say, well, that's what that was talking about. No, this was actually God answering Daniel concerning his people and what would happen in the centuries that would follow Daniel. Well, the kingdom stands today. You know, it was established on the day of Pentecost, in Acts, the second chapter, and that kingdom is still here. This is the kingdom of Christ, the kingdom that would go into all the world. And we know that Christ told his apostles to go where? All the world. Go into all the world to do what? Be quiet? No. Told them to go into all the world and preach the gospel. And we still today need to do our very best to do that. And I'm thankful that Eastside has done its very best, if you put it that way, we've done all we can to spread the gospel in other nations. And we've actually had people who have made statements against us doing that. And We set it aside, and we want to do that as much as we possibly can to spread the gospel into other areas of the world if at all possible. But this is the kingdom that we have today. Are you a part of that kingdom? This is a critical thing for each and every person. It's a grave importance that you are sure that you're in the true kingdom of God. That there's not a question in your mind whatsoever that you are in that kingdom. And the kingdom that will last forever. And thankfully, God set it up. We are here today, thanks to our Lord and Savior. And we have that opportunity to be a part of that kingdom today that so many people, back in Old Testament times, they wanted to know about it, but the prophets, they didn't know. But anyway, anybody got a comment? Got anything you want to say? Yeah, you. I'm going to get back here so they can hear you. Go ahead. I'm not just looking at you that close.
Well, I think this prophecy is being fulfilled really fast. And to me, very faithful when you think about Daniel making these prophecies 40 years sometimes before they occurred. When Daniel chapter 8, he got a vision of the ram and the goat, destruction of Persian Empire by Alexander the Great. There's a fascinating story in Josephus about that. Josephus says that when Alexander came on his conquest through Palestine and got to Jerusalem, priests showed him this passage from Daniel chapter 8. And he saw himself in it. He supposed that it was himself that the prophet was speaking of. So he went on and destroyed the Medes and the Persians. There's a lot of fascinating historical facts.
All right. Thank you. I knew I could not repeat all of that, so that was the easiest way to do that. All right. All right. Okay. Okay, Wayne's saying that in chapter 12, it talks about it. It's almost like today time, and a lot of people, even a lot of people who write for commentaries and so forth, a lot of them have felt like that and discounted this part of Daniel because they said it was written in today's times even. But we know that. Okay, read the last verse of chapter 12 and you'll kind of understand that this is written at the time it is. Daniel told to go your way, you know, the time will come. All right. Thank y'all so much for your attention. I'm sorry I didn't do a better job of it. I'm sure somebody could have done a better, but we're thankful we are alive and got through it. So. Thank y'all for your comments.